If you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 12, and we're going to speak this morning on the subject of the power of prayer, the power of prayer. The book of Acts is a remarkable testimony of the power and the sovereignty of God over those who stand against the gospel, whether it's individuals or whether it's a government. The more the gospel enemies tried to stamp out the church, the more it spread, as you see through the book of Acts. Chapter 12 opens with Peter in prison for the third time. And we will see today God's power displayed in the miraculous deliverance of Peter from prison. One of the main messages that flows through this chapter, chapter 12, is the subject of trusting God. Trusting God, you know, is not as easy as just saying it. How many of us can say, well, I'm trusting the Lord, but sometimes it's a little difficult when things are not going our way to really trust the Lord. The word trust simply means to place confidence in, to believe, or to expect confidently. And today I hope that we will be encouraged by this passage to have confidence that God will watch out over you. And when we take the gospel and share it with others, that God knows where we're at and God will watch over us. When we think about trusting God and having confidence in God, you know, sometimes that is difficult for us to do. But we can trust him no matter what the circumstance might be. The key to placing your trust and confidence in the Lord is, first of all, comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you make that first prayer to him and ask him for forgiveness, and you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know, one of the most important ways that you and I can build confidence and trust God is through the power of prayer. Remember, the first church in Acts chapter 2 devoted themselves to prayer. And it's no surprise to find the church devoted to prayer right now, as we'll see in Acts chapter 12. So let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you'll use this passage of Scripture, Father, to help us to see the importance of prayer. Help us to see, Father, this morning that as we pray, our confidence in you and our trust in you will be enhanced, will be built up as we reflect upon what you've done and what you are doing. And as Father, it's through that relationship with you and our communication with you through prayer that, Father, we learn to trust you more and more and more. And so, Father, help us to learn something about this, about prayer from this passage of Scripture this morning. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see this morning is the need for prayer. If you look at chapter 12, look at verse 1. It says, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." The need for prayer. Now, so far in the book of Acts, as we walk through the book of Acts, we have seen the persecution against the church. The persecution through the church was coming not only from the Jewish religious leaders of that day, but also from the Roman government. We know that Herod hated the Jews. And so to try to gain some favor with the Jews, he persecuted the church. And so the Bible tells us that he had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. When we did our study probably a couple years ago, we did a study on Wednesday night about the apostles. And I found something interesting about James and this incident here. Now, this is what the historians tell us. I don't find it in the Bible, but the historians tell us. The historians tell us that as James was getting ready to be executed here in chapter 12, that the very soldier that was supposed to execute him, James witnessed to him before the event took place, and the man trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. In other words, he was saved. And when it came time to execute James, he refused to do it. He refused to do it because he was now a brother in Christ. And so Herod had another soldier take that same sword and kill that soldier first. And then he killed James. I only mentioned that because I wanted you to see, folks, you know, here was James facing death, but he took a bold step to share Christ, and the very man that was supposed to execute him comes to know Christ. But the Bible tells us that seeing that it pleased the Jews so much, Herod took that bold step to having Peter arrested. Just think about it. If the Jews were so pleased that James was killed, think how delighted they would be if the Apostle Peter was slain. And so he has Peter arrested. And so there was a need for prayer. I want you to see this, though, in verse number 4 and following there. Understand this, that when we're going through various trials and difficulties and stuff, God sees your trial. The Bible says there in verse number 4, you know, that he had him arrested, he had him put into prison and to maximum security. But you know, later on in life, Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 3, listen to verse 12, listen to what Peter wrote many years later. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." Peter knew, even when he was in prison, and he's being under lock and guard now, that God was watching over him. God was sovereignly in control. Now, God allowed Herod to arrest Peter, but he put off the execution because of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was associated with the Passover. And he put him under arrest and placed Peter in maximum security there. Think about this. 16 soldiers were involved. 4 for each watch. 2 guards were to watch the door, and 2 other guards were chained to the Apostle Peter. They would serve 3-hour shifts during the night to make sure that they stayed alert. Have you ever thought about it, though, when you think about this? Why such a heavy guard? He's only one man. I mean, why put soldiers chained on each side, and why put guards on the outside of the gate, you know? Why such a heavy guard? Do you remember the last time Peter was in prison? They went to look for him, and he mysteriously wasn't there. Remember where he was at? He's out preaching again. We'll look at that verse in a little bit. So Herod wanted to make sure that it didn't happen again. And so he sets a maximum security against Peter to keep him in prison. But why? Why was James allowed to die while Peter would be restored? Why was James allowed to die while Peter was rescued? Why do some Christians face such challenges in life and others don't? Why do some Christians face such medical challenges within their lives, but yet this Christian over here doesn't? Why is that? Folks, God allowed Herod to kill James. He didn't allow him to kill Peter for this one reason. And we're going to look at this in a moment here, but I wanted to establish this first of all, that it was the throne in heaven who was in control. It wasn't the throne of the Roman Empire. It wasn't Herod who was in control. The whole incident of James being martyred and Peter being rescued was the result of the throne in heaven. God is sovereign. God knew exactly what was taking place, and God would cause or allow whatever event to take place. And folks, it's good for us to know, no matter how difficult the trials or how disappointing the news we might get, always remember this, that God is still on the throne. And he has everything absolutely in control. We may not always understand his ways, but we know that he is sovereign, and his will is what is best for us. And so we see that Peter is in prison, but God knows, because Peter would later write, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." But because he was in prison, waiting to be executed, it's time for the church to pray. It's time for the church to pray. If you look there in verse number 5 there. Before the angel is sent by God to deliver Peter, we find that the church was praying. Remember, when you're reading through scriptures and you see that little word "but" there, it means something is about to happen. And we're told here that the church was praying fervently, earnestly, without ceasing. They were praying. I have the New King James, and it says they were praying, but constant prayer was being offered up for Peter. That word there that's used there for fervent or earnestly, the word here means to be stretched out, to extend. The extension of intensity, in other words, without ceasing. This word was used in the Old Testament for praying with confidence that God would answer. The church was on its knees praying with confidence that God would do something in the life of the Apostle Peter. And they continued to do it. Some say that this prayer meeting had been going on for about a week. They prayed for God, for Peter, unceasingly and earnestly. And their prayers were offered with full assurance that God would do something. And here's the point I want to make is this. Folks, never underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate the power of a praying church. Earnest and continual prayer for those who need God's help is one of the most powerful tools that we have in the ministry. You know, our Bible studies, our Sunday school classes, our music, everything that we do here is important in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the most powerful tools that the church has is people on their knees praying. Thomas Watson said this. He said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." Look at verse 6, if you would, for me. This verse always astonishes me. "And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison." If you were chained to a Roman guard on each side, and two were standing at the door, watching the door, and you knew the next morning that the soldiers were going to come and you would be martyred, would you be sleeping? I am sorry. I am a sound sleeper. 9 o'clock, boom, I'm gone. That's it, you know. I'll see you in the morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock, you know. But I really do believe that if this was happening to me, I don't think I would be so sound asleep. But what gave Peter the confidence? What gave Peter such trust in the Lord that he was able to lay down his head that night, being chained, and go to sleep? And we'll see here later, he was so sound asleep that the angel that comes delivering has to kick him a few times to wake him up. How does a person have that much confidence and trust in the Lord? This is kind of my own thinking here, okay? So this is my own thinking here. I believe that Peter no doubt knew that the church was praying for him. Peter knew the power of prayer. And I believe he knew that the church was praying for him. Remember, after they were arrested before, they were counting it all joy that they had suffered for the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the church gathered together and prayed, and the whole place was shaken, and they went out with boldness to preach the gospel. And so I believe that Peter, you know, knew, had no doubt that the church was praying for him. Here's something else, a little side on here. Peter knew that Herod couldn't kill him. He really couldn't, you know. Because Jesus had already told Peter what was going to happen to him in his latter life. He'd already told him. In John chapter 21, listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, simply this, "Follow me." Jesus had already told Peter how he was going to die, that Peter would be put on a cross. He said, "There's coming a time when you get older that they're going to stretch out your arms, and then that's how you're going to die." He knew that he was going to be crucified on a Roman cross. And that's kind of my thinking here, but here's what I really believe that brought the confidence and the trust in the Lord is this, that Peter had confidence in the power of prayer and the word of God. I believe that he had that much confidence and trust because he had trust and confidence in what God had told him and also what that in the prayer that was being offered up for him by the church. And so the early church prayed for Peter. And folks, can I say this? We should do no less for one another here every day. We should be praying for everybody right here every day. We may not be able to do anything to change someone's situation, but we can pray for them. We can't change a person's medical condition, but we can pray for them. We may not be able to help somebody in a financial crisis, but we can pray for them. We may not be able to help people that might have some problems within their homes or whatever. We may not be able to do anything about that. But folks, we can certainly pray for them. And Peter that night slept very, very soundly. Why? Because he knew the church was praying for him. And he had confidence in the power of prayer in the Word of God. Remember, he later wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." And so we can see the need for prayer here, the need for prayer. But now look at the power of prayer. Look at verse 7. It says, "Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garments and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led leads to the city, which opened to them by its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel." Notice the power of prayer. I want you to understand this, folks, that God is sovereignly at work in your life all the time. There is not a moment, a fraction of time, that God is not sovereignly working in your life. There would be no way that the Apostle Peter could escape by ordinary human means. God's angel appeared and Peter's chains fell off, the Bible tells us. The angel had to arouse him a little bit and kick him in the side to wake him up. Told him to get up, put on his sandals, put on his clothes. "Peter, follow me." And he led him right past the first and second gate. And the Bible says they led him out into the street. And once Peter was on the street, the angel departed from him. Peter was not escaping on his own, folks. He was being delivered by God's angel. You see, when you pray and deliverance comes, it comes not by our own means, but by God. The church knew that they could not deliver Peter, but God could. The angel of the Lord revealed how infinitely superior divine power is to human power. Understand that. God's power and his sovereignty, his power is divinely, infinitely superior to anything man has. There is no power greater than the power of God. And so, God in his sovereignty was working his life. And notice this, we can learn a lot how to obey the Lord when we don't understand what he's doing. Certainly, Peter didn't understand everything that was taking place here, but yet he understood. He knew to obey what God was telling him to do. And God will lead us one step at a time, folks. We simply need to obey that. God orders your step every day. God knows exactly where you're going and what's going to happen to you every day. And as we listen to him and we obey him, we take that step, one step at a time. Peter didn't know what was going on until he got out of the side of the city. And then he came to understand what was going on. It wasn't a vision. God had actually delivered him. And folks, as we listen to God and obey him, we're going to understand as well. Peter's deliverance was a miracle. God miraculously intervened in Peter's situation. Now, I want you to understand this. Folks, God is still performing miracles today. I believe that. God is still performing miracles today. He has not changed. He is active in our lives in a variety of different ways, and he is still performing miracles today. And God always answers prayer. I've heard people say before, you know, when they're praying, you know, God hasn't answered my prayer. Oh, yes, he has. The first prayer he answers is when you bow your knee and ask him for forgiveness, for salvation. But every time you open your mouth and you go before the throne of grace, and you open up your mouth and you ask God and you pray to God, folks, God always, always answers prayers. Sometimes it may be with a miracle. Sometimes he might deliver you from the situation. Other times he might just sustain you in the situation. But God hears your prayers and answers. And you and I can trust God to do what is good and what is right. And even when he does not deliver us the way we request of him, we can trust God and have confidence in him. That's our problem. We say that God didn't answer our prayer because he didn't answer it the way I wanted him to. You know, he doesn't. No, he answers. Though God may respond to our prayers in different ways, he does respond. And we should look expectantly for his answers. There's a need to pray, and there's power in prayer. And when you pray, you need to be watchful to just see what God is doing. But then there's joy in prayer as well. Look at verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself. Oh, Rhoda, you're mad." Yet she kept on insisting that it was so, and they said, "It must be his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. The joy of prayer. Folks, when God answers our prayers, we need to give him thanks and praise. In verse number 11, when Peter realized what had happened to him, what did he do? The first thing he did was give God the credit and the glory. He acknowledged that the Lord had delivered him by sending the angel. He recognized that the Lord had ordered the plans of Herod and also of the Jewish authorities. God works miracles to point us towards himself. And when he works within our lives and answers our prayers, Peter saw and remembered to give God the credit and glory. And we need to do the same. When we look at our lives and we see the way God has worked in a particular way in our lives, we need to give him honor and glory and thanksgiving for that. We are told that Peter immediately sought the community of believers. He went to the house of Mary, John Mark's mother. He knew the church would be there gathered together in prayer that day. Unfortunately, though, when he arrived, he had a hard time getting into the prayer meeting. I like what Dr. Wiersbe said. Dr. Wiersbe said God could get Peter out of the prison, but Peter couldn't get himself into a prayer meeting, you know. He's knocking. But here's the thing. When God answers our prayers, folks, giving thanks and praise, but we need to pray believing that all things are possible with the Lord. Believing that all things are possible with the Lord. When he got to the prayer meeting and knocked, the little servant girl wrote it, you know, she went to the door. She was so excited about Peter there. And the response that she got was, you know, you must be out of your mind. This must be his angel. Why didn't they believe it was Peter? I mean, that's what they were praying for, were they not? Why didn't they believe it was Peter? Well, I don't really know the answer to that, but maybe they were just praying for him to be for the trial that was going to take place. Or maybe they could not imagine that God would take him out of prison and release him in a very miraculous way. But there again, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" They had seen God do it before. Why didn't they believe? Could it just be simply a lack of faith? I really don't know why they didn't believe it was Peter. But let's not judge them. Let's not judge them too quickly. How often are we surprised when God works in situations we have asked him to work in? When we have doubts and unbelief, we need to pray like like the father prayed, cried out to Jesus. Remember the fellow, his son was possessed. He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. How many times do we pray not really believing? Not really believing. I've shared this one thing with you before, but some of you haven't heard it. And, you know, I'll show you how faithful I am, how great a prayer warrior believing I am. Huh. We had went to Myrtle Beach once, and I've been known to be very cheap. Okay. I'll just say that, you know. And we went there, and we took our grandkids, and I went up to take them on the amusement rides, and I went to get my money, and it was gone. Somehow or another, when I was taking my floor mat out and shaking it out, my envelope with my money stashed in there hid had fallen out of the truck. I was praying that God would let me have a great attitude. I was with my grandchildren. My wife was praying that God would give us back the money. I said, Cindy, there's an envelope that's got $700 of cash in it. No one's going to pick up that envelope and give it back. She said, I don't care what you say. I'm praying God's going to give it back to us. I said, well, you keep praying. Okay, good, you know. The next day, she says, I'm stopping at the office to see if anybody turned in that money. I said, yeah, sure, go ahead, you know. And she told them, and we come out, and the lady goes up there. She said, did you say somebody lost money? I said, well, yeah. She said, what did it look like? I said, well, it was in an envelope, and it had $700 on top of it. There was $700. She said, yeah, somebody turned it in. Here? Some young man had found it in the sand and turned it into the office. Now, I prayed, Lord, just give me a good attitude. She prayed, believing that God would give that back to us. And he did. He did. I just could not believe that somebody would find $700. I'd have probably went, did anybody see that? Okay, you know. I'm good. Nobody saw me, you know. Oh, Lord, forgive me, you know. But how many times, folks, do we pray and we don't expect God to answer the prayer? You know, Peter's appearance stunned those onlookers. And they just broke out in praise. And Peter here, he tells them to be quiet. You know, he tells them what has happened. But look at verse 17. He says, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared them how it happened. And he said to them, go tell these things to James and the brethren. Folks, the joy of prayer. We need to share that joy with others. Many times we get prayer requests here at the church, and people will ask us to pray. And we do pray, but we never know what the results are because nobody tells us. You know, I was talking about this the other day, and my sister's good at that. She'll tell me, pray for my grandson, pray for this one. And, you know, 6 months later, how's he doing? I don't know. They never tell me what's the result. It's so important that you come to the church and ask for prayer. But you need to share with others what God has done. Peter went and he said, look, I'm here. I want you to go tell James, and I want you to go tell the others what had taken place. Why? Because there's great joy in that. When we hear a testimony from somebody else, how God has miraculously worked in their lives through prayer, that not only encourages you, but it encourages us. And it brings us great joy as we see the work and the power of God working in the lives of people that we've been praying for. It's so important that we tell others. We are told in our scripture there that Peter was departed and went to another place. Luke did not tell us where Peter went. In fact, nobody knows to this day where Peter went after this. Peter walks off the pages of the book of Acts here. We are told in 1 Corinthians 9:5 that Peter traveled in ministry with his wife. There are suggestions that he actually went to Corinth. We don't know. But we know that later he was crucified for his faith, just as Christ had said. But the thing I want you to see is this, folks, there is joy. There is joy in prayer, and we should share that joy with others. And one last thing, and I'll be very quick, is the result of prayer. If you look at verse 24, the Bible says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Obviously, Peter's absence caused a great confusion that morning as they searched and looked for him that day, and they couldn't find him. Because of that, Herod had the guards that were in charge executed because they let him escape. But we also come to understand this, that Herod would never kill another Christian in his life. Because of his pride, God had him eaten with worms. God struck him with worms, and the Bible says, and he died. But the word of the Lord grew. We're told that the word of the Lord continued to grow and to multiply. What was the secret? A praying church. How was it that God, Peter was delivered, and how was it that lives were full of joy and excitement, and God's word continued to pray? Where did it all start? Verse number 5, they constantly prayed. Prayer, the secret of praying church. Dr. Alan Redpath says, let us keep our chins up and our knees down. We are on the victory side. Dr. Wiersbe says, God works when churches pray, and Satan still trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees, because he understands the power of prayer. Chapter 12 should encourage us to pray, folks, because God is still in control as we pray. The work of the kingdom will be accomplished, and the word of the Lord will continue to grow and to multiply, and it comes from a church that is on their knees praying for the will of God to be done. And as we pray, God's word is proclaimed, and people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When we collect these boxes, and I believe they have to be in November, right? November 12th, we will pray over those boxes. No magical power. It's just that we pray over them, asking God to work in the heart of some young child as they get that box. And it will be because of the prayers of us as we prepare for that day, and even that day that they send them out, that people will come to know Christ. So chapter 12 is, to me, is a fascinating chapter. It's told us about the need of prayer. The church must see the importance of prayer and continue to lift others up before the throne of grace. We must continue to lift others up before the throne of grace. We must always understand the power of prayer. God is at work in the life of the church and the lives of those within the church. And he works in miraculous ways to accomplish his purpose. So there's a need for prayer, a power of prayer, and the joy. The joy of prayer when we share what God has done and how he's worked in a miraculous way in our lives. As we gather together and we witness together his great work. And the result of prayer? Very simple. The word of God is spread. The word of God is spread. The need for prayer, the power of prayer, the joy of prayer, and the result of prayer. So I would close this morning by just asking a simple question. Would you this morning commit yourself to pray for others in the church? We know that some folks aren't here today because of illness. You know, you see the empty pews. Would you pray for them today? Maybe you know somebody that's going through a struggle. Would you make a commitment today? Say, you know what? I'm going to pray for that person. Would you pray for our church? The Fall Festival is coming up, folks. And it's an opportunity that we'll be able to share Christ with others. Would you be willing to pray this week for the church as we go out and we serve the Lord there? What about the other activities that are going on in the church? Would you be willing just to pray? As the body of Christ, we need to see the importance of praying for one another. But let me say this as I close, is this. The greatest prayer that anybody can ever pray is, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm trusting you today as my Lord and Savior. You're watching us on Facebook out there, or maybe you're here with us today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that is the most important prayer that you will ever pray. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. And the power of the Lord can save you from your sins and give you an eternal life and glory one day with him. It just simply takes you bowing your head. I remember years ago, there was an elderly man, I think he was in his 80s, and I went to the prayer room with him, And he said this to me. He said, Greg, I don't know how to pray. I said, well, you just need to ask God to forgive you. And this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, forgive me. He opened his eyes. He said, was that good enough? I said, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And he trusted Christ that day as his Lord and Savior and followed in believer's baptism. If you've never done that, today can be the day to save your life. But why don't we as a church today, why can't we commit ourselves today like Peter at the church in Mary's house was to constantly lift one another up in prayer before the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. And we do thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship and praise you. And I thank you, Father, for the church that's here. Father, we do pray for one another, but help us never to take that for granted. Help us to continue to lift each other up in prayer. Help us to continue to pray for the opportunities that we can have to reach out to others. We pray, Father, today that there be one here with a special need, that Father, if they need prayer this morning, the altars are open. I'm willing to pray with them. Someone else can pray with them. Or if they just need to pray by themselves, maybe there's somebody that needs to trust Christ. Whatever the need might be today, may we listen to you and obey your will. May we do as Peter did, follow the instructions that were given to him. We'd ask it all now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please